fast. Slow down, not so fast. You have a responsibility in the Caribbean that you have to honor. You have a case to answer. You have a case. You have a moral, a political, and a legal case to answer. You cannot commit these crimes against these people. Enrich yourselves out of their labor. Walk away and leave them in poverty. No, 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 no. You have to come back to this place and participate in the removal of some of these legacies that you have left behind. And I can tell you, no Caribbean government will have the resources in the next 30 to 40 years to deal with these legacies. You will not have the resources to deal with these consequences. In fact, poverty is increasing in the Caribbean because the Western world has adopted a different approach towards these societies. The governments will not have the resources to uproot the poverty that has been left behind. They have done a commendable job thus far. The resources will not be there to attack it frontally and remove it. The British government has a responsibility to come back and participate in this conversation about development. And this is what reparations is. Reparations is not about people standing around on street corners and getting handouts. And bear in mind that the British government and the other European governments have launched a campaign to discredit the concept of reparations. They know they have to pay it. They know that they have to deal with it sooner or later. But what you do in the first place? You discredit the concept. Oh, reparations is about black people standing around on street corners and handouts. And that is how they define it. They want you to define it that way because once it's defined that way, it becomes ridiculous. That is not what reparations is. It begins with you saying we have committed a crime against you and for this we apologize. And then the consequences, we will participate in dealing with them with you. So it is a partnership. It is not about conflict. It is not about confrontation. It's about helping the British people to rise up to the
fore. You're listening to Sir Hilary Beckles over WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm Amy Rosenberg with The Morning Show. And this morning, the theme during our fund drive is reparatory justice, because African Americans built this country against their will. They were compensated with rape and torture and lynchings for 400 years because African Americans never had anything of value to pass down to generations to keep their memories alive, because slaves were not considered humans, so that they had no true documented history of where they were from, who they were related to, or anything pertaining to their ancestral history of outside of the oral history they kept alive. There's a divide between light and dark skin people. John Henry Clark, Sir Hilary Beckles, Ta-Nehisi Coates, 5 DVDs are talking about the legacies and the reality and how they affect the conditions of peoples today within our communities, how they affect oppressed peoples, how they affect people of color. They are talking about the 10-point program for reparations for African Americans in the United States, and we're going to get back to that. But we want you now just to think about, because of the brilliance, the critical nature of these presentations, this 5 DVD set, John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Sir Hilary Beckles, hours and hours of listening on reparatory justice to incorporate, to build in as the essential piece towards the accomplishment of human and democratic rights within our society, to adopt as part of the movements that we are building to make an essential and critical part of our demands and goals. And you can get that with your contribution during this strategic fund drive to call 212-209-2950. For $125, you will get the 5-DVD set on reparatory justice by some of its most brilliant exponents and scholars. And you will be enhanced intellectually. You will have a different foundational base upon which to organize. And our movements will have a lot more meat to grow with towards the end of egalitarianism, towards the end of a certainly more just society. Well, again, this is WBAI 99.5 FM.
All in silence were born in jail.
And domestics walked together to jail and got to know each other in the cells as they sat next to each other and felt.
And we're keeping our eyes on the prize this morning over W. With our 2-hour special on reparatory justice, which we are going to return to one of the primary speakers and architects in the world community of reparatory justice, and that is Sir Hilary Beckles. Everywhere that African enchainment and enslavement became the basis of societies and economies, their descendants today cannot assume the human right to breathe the air of freedom and justice. Plantation slave drivers and overseers have been replaced by public prosecutions and militarized police, and the human right to life denied Africans during the 400 years of the barbarity called chattel slavery continues to be contested. The racism that informs the contestation defines and distorts the primary social relations of humanity, and thus out of the ashes of slavery and the continuation of the sparks that ignite racism institutionally within the society, the call for reparatory justice, for reparations for African Americans in the United States, indeed throughout the world. And we want to go back and listen to Sir Hilary Beckles. This is one of the DVDs, part of a five DVD set, hours of watching on reparatory justice by John Henry Clark, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Sir Hilary Beckham, Dr. Ben, all of them combining to a crescendo of why reparations must be there as a development strategy. Their goal is to use reparation payments to deal collectively with pressing economic and educational problems facing the citizenry of the Caribbean, facing the citizenry of the United States, of the entire diaspora, that trace their origins to the underdevelopment imposed by slavery, slave trade, native genocide, and economic exploitation by the European nations, by the United States. Let's listen to Sir Hilary Beckles, but I do want you to have at your ready to support WBAI, and by way of our saying thank you, we will give you this 5-DVD set, unique and special and available no place else. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 is the number to call. $125, 5 DVDs, hours of listening on this most critical and strategic question. Reparations for slavery, reparatory justice, this has only been offered this morning. Likely will not be offered again during the course of this drive. It is there specifically and consciously for you. 212-209-2950. Let's listen to Sir Hilary Beckles.
Information about the atrocities committed in Kenya. The documents were removed from the archives and hid in a private archive. Thank God they have honest people on the planet. Some people said no. No. We do not want our nation to behave like this and expose the information, which then allowed the court to say, since the government has taken action to conceal this information, there is a case to answer. And the courts ruled that the government should have a conversation in the court. Because the citizens in Britain, and while I was there, students were on Facebook, they were having meetings on the campuses, students were rallying around saying, no, we want our governments to give those African peoples reparations. So the British government found itself surrounded by younger people, students, NGOs, the church, who were all demanding that the government should pay reparations. So do not think for a moment that this is a conversation only with the British government. This is a conversation with British society. And British society increasingly is on your side that this conversation must take place. I know that because I have given lectures across British universities, dozens of them in the last 5 years. And the people are saying, yes, we are with the Caribbean people on this matter. And we know the history. We know the history. The genocide against the native people here in St. Vincent. It's not for me to discuss that with you. You know your national history. You know the history of the Garifuna here. You know the history of the Black Caribs. You know the history of the Kalinago people on this island. The heroic struggle all the way into the end of the 18th century. The massacre of the people in this society who stood up for their rights, who held on to their land, who were dispossessed of their land by an imperial government, deported from their societies. These are all crimes that have to be atoned. These are all matters that the British government has to take responsibility for. And those issues are important. I trace in the book the details of this case. You know, Barbados, when the English arrived in Barbados to set up a colony in 1625, do you know that Barbados was the only island in the entire Caribbean that was empty? Empty, no people on it. The British arrived and found an empty island. Blank, no people. But they said it was filled with houses. Here is an island filled with houses. Thousands of villages and little huts everywhere, but no people. Because the native people of Barbados, the same Kalinago peoples, unable to resist the Spanish and the Portuguese who were raiding the island because it's a flat island, they couldn't fight against them, they abandoned Barbados and moved into St. Vincent and Dominica and Grenada and St. Lucia. So many of those indigenous peoples in the Windward Islands were also from Barbados. They couldn't survive in Barbados. So they abandoned their villages and they moved into the Windwards where they could resist, where they had a fighting chance. Where they had a fighting chance. And it's interesting because in the book I described one of the meetings with the Barbados government and the native population in St. Lucia. The Carib chiefs came from Dominica, they came from Grenada, they came from St. Vincent, and they met in St. Lucia with the governor of Barbados. And one of the issues they discussed in that treaty, in the 1650s, one of the issues in the treaty is that we want permission to return to Barbados because that was part of our home. We want to go unmolested back to the island of Barbados because they had abandoned it. They wanted to go back to visit the island that they once lived in. And that is the nature of this history. But crimes were committed against those peoples. Then we know the issues about the prostitution of black women. The critical feature of a crime against humanity, you cannot prostitute people into a system for 300 years and walk away. During the Japanese war in Korea, the Japanese brought thousands of Korean women into the army camps to work as sex slaves, to work as prostitutes to the Japanese army. The Korean people have now brought reparations charges against the Japanese government for the prostitution of Korean women. The Japanese government have just paid billions of yen into a fund called the Korean Women's Development Fund as reparations for the prostitution of Korean women during the Korean War. All of these crimes, all over the world, one by one, they are being repaired, but people have to be committed for justice for their society. Black women all across the Caribbean were prostituted. When you bought a woman on the market, you go down Kingston, the slave market, you buy a woman, you're buying not only her labor, you're buying access to her body, her fertility, her sexuality, you're buying access to everything. It's a product. She had no right to control her fertility or her maternity. Those were products that you bought. You have a right to her. You could not rape a black woman because Africans were classified as property. You cannot rape property. And law is your property. You cannot rape your property. It's your right. It's your right to have access. But that was a regime for 300 years. The right to the sexuality of the black woman. And the system of slavery was based upon the fertility and the maternity of the black woman. The whole system of slavery was based on the black woman. By that, what I mean is, slavery passed on through the female line. Slavery did not pass on through the male line. It passed on through the female line. The offspring of an enslaved woman was born into slavery. A child took the status of slavery at birth from the mother, not the father. It is the mother who was the conduit. The black woman was a conduit through which slavery passed from generation to generation. She was targeted for that purpose. If you go into the archives of the Caribbean, you will see several children born of mixed race. If the father was a white man, the mother was an enslaved black woman, the child was born a slave. If, however, the father was a slave man and the mother was white, the child was born free. Because a white woman could not give birth to a slave child because the status of the child came from the status of the mother. So white women could not give birth to a slave child. So even when the father was a slave, and there were many cases we have in the archives of the father being a slave, the child was born free. Now, of course, you could see the problem with that. The slave owners did not wish to see much of that. They didn't wish to see many of these colored children being born black slave fathers and white free mothers. And the Barbados Archives is a fascinating census. 1715, the second census of the island. And in that census, in the parish of St. Philip, there are 14 mulatto children whose parents, the mother was white, fathers were enslaved Africans. And these children were colored and classified in the census as free. Now, the moment that was realized by the census takers, the government took a decision to stamp out that kind of behavior, and therein the records began to show the castration of black men. Therein, the government of Barbados made a law that any such enslaved man who is found guilty of lying with a white woman shall be castrated. And thus you begin to see in the records castration of men. John castrated, Harry castrated, Kojo castrated, held up, penis cut off. Because there in the records began to show that kind of history. Now, the British government built the system. The system did not evolve out of the sky. This system was built by the British government for purposes of taxation, for revenue generation, for profits, for trade, for finance. This was a business enterprise which was legislated by the British state. British government built it. This is a system crafted by the British parliamentary structure. They are responsible for the management of it, and they're responsible for the defense of it. It is a British political construct. Well, we all know of the case of the Zong massacre. This is a critical case that all students in commercial law should study, or I would wish to study. The Zong massacre. This is a classic case that brings forward now the reparations issue of the defining of people as property. The Zong was a slave ship on its way from West Africa to Jamaica with 300 Africans on board. Normal slave ship. It took about 8 weeks for a slave ship to get West Africa to the Caribbean. And there were two strategies. If you were a slave trader, there were two methods to bring your slaves to the market. One was called tight packing, one was called loose packing. Loose packing and tight packing are methodologies which the slave traders are arguing about which one was better. Tight packing says if a ship has a capacity of 400, you jam 500 in. Jam them in and head across the Atlantic, top speed with the wind. If you lose 10% or you lose 20%, you get to the market, you still have an 80% cargo, you make a fortune. Each one is costing you about £2 per head, and you can sell them for 25, 30. So you recruit them at £2, you put them on the ship, jam them in, get across 8 weeks, and if you get to market, you make a killing. Another strategy was loose packing. If a ship had a capacity for 400, you put in 250. Give them a little more elbow room. Don't pack them in so tight and hope that you reduce the mortality, fuel would die, you get to the market, and you still make a killing. So the slave traders would debate which method was better for profitability. The Zong decided, Captain Colin Wood decided, on this voyage, he was going tight packing. So he packed in 300 and a 200 capacity ship, heading across the Atlantic, got in the middle of the Atlantic, and ran out of wind. Because these are sail ships. Captain error, navigational error, lost the breeze, the ship stalled. And here he's stuck in the middle of the Atlantic, can't move. No wind. He has a strategic decision to make. What to do? He is running out of food, and he is running out of water. He took the logical business decision. Throw them in the ocean, dump them all out, let the sharks eat them, turn the ship around, go back to England and claim the insurance. Because it's property. Claim the insurance. And that's what Captain Colin Wood did. Threw them off, back to England and claimed the insurance. Sharks consume 200 or 300 of them. This case becomes famous because he claimed the insurance company began to question the claim. The insurance company said, we want more documentation, I mean.
All and silent, down again. Had no one to go their bell. Oh, keep your hands on that plow. Hold on. Hold on.
keep our hands on the plow. Keep your eye on the prize. Hold on, glory. Those are some of the musical selections we've had this morning to kind of encapsulate this extraordinary presentation by Sir Hilary Beckles on reparatory justice, because the past, as William Faulkner might have said, isn't dead. It isn't even past. Today, young African-American men comprise more than half of America's prison population, while blacks commit 12% of nonviolent drug offenses. They make up 75% of those incarcerated for such offenses and usually serve sentences twice as long as whites do for the same crime. Slavery ended, but something not completely unlike it followed. And where is the compensation? Well, Sir Hilary Beckles is talking about some of the things that the CARICOM nations, the Caribbean Reparatory Justice Program, where owners and traders of enslaved Africans, that's who he's directing his intention to, instituted genocidal actions upon indigenous communities and created the legal, financial, and fiscal policy for the enslavement of Africans. That's who he's addressing his attention to, because the past isn't dead. It isn't even past. And how does it affect communities of color today? And you're going to have to take advantage of the 5-DVD set, $125, for priceless information to find out how the story ended about the loose packing, the slave ship, a major study in commercial enterprise and commercial law that I studied when I was in law school. What happens? How do the slave owners who throw their cargo, the chattel, the African American slaves overboard to be consumed by sharks, to drown in the deep blue? They come back to England after doing that, and they claim compensation and insurance for having to throw their cargo overboard. And the whole story and the whole construct and the body of law that develops is absolutely critical to understand. So the slave owners are compensated, and indeed they were later on after slavery here too. But there's so much to learn and think about from these extraordinary, eloquent, brilliant scholars, research activists that have put together these DVDs for us to unearth, to bring to you. And that is Ta-Nehisi Coates, who has written the really pivotal article now, The Case for Reparations, 250 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow, 6 years of separate but equal, 35 years of racist housing policy, and until we reckon with our compounding moral debts, America will never be whole. The article by Ta-Nehisi Coates, his speeches that followed that, they have been acclaimed throughout the world. Sir Hilary Beckles, who has a resume that boggles my mind, truly one of the important leaders in the world communities today, the great founder of so much of our Africanist and Africana studies mindset and work, John Hendrick Clark and Dr. Ben Yohanan, who we lost recently, they contribute to this package. So we got 5 DVDs, all of them leading to really the issue of reparations for African Americans in the United States, what we're calling the reparatory justice premium this morning, which we want to give to you. And I want to give it to you, yes, because you are going to pledge this morning for $125 to WBAI, and it's a thank you gift. But most strategically, I want to give this to you because I think that it is about the greatest creating And I think that potentially the reparatory justice movement, it has begun to become and can become the greatest political movement of the 21st century. That's what Professor Beckles explained in his presentation. 212-209-2950. We just have this and are just here till 8 o'clock this morning when Democracy Now! Comes along. But I want to go back and I want you to listen to as much of this material as possible, really to whet your appetite, because there's no way that we can play for you this stunning material in the time that we have this morning. So you really, really need, for your benefit, for your education, for your communities, for your ancestors, for the development of a whole and egalitarian and just America in which we can live. This material is an essential part of building that. Calling reparatory justice the greatest political movement of the 21st century, Professor Beckles explained reparations from responsible governments is more than just economics and finances, though both are strategic. It's a matter of pride, and it's a matter of dignity, and it's a matter of self-respect for the victims of the slave trade to seek reparatory justice for the harm done. He offers a 10-point plan covering all aspects of what is needed for reparatory justice, ranging from formal apology to curbing an explosion of chronic diseases such as hypertension and diabetes, which grips blacks in the Caribbean and the U.S., to debt cancellation. Yes, the issue of why there is such a preponderance of diabetes and hypertension. What did that have to do with the habitual diet that was available to enslaved Africans? The constant diet of salt and stuff. It's remarkable, the scholarship, the research that has gone into ferreting out this material in these exceptional DVDs, 5 DVDs. All you have to do to support WBAI, which people are doing from Rhode Island, which people are doing from Cambria Heights, from Far Rockaway. Hey, what about you guys right down the street? In Borham Hill, in Brooklyn, all over. We are getting people responding in droves this morning for this outstanding material. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, $125 for this priceless scholarship. But the way the scholarship is laid out, it is not just academic. It is taken on a material basis, a substantive basis for change. So while it deals with forms of genocide and slavery and slave trading and racial apartheid and the new Jim Crow and all that, that is part and parcel of the material reality of enslavement that must be compensated, it deals with it in a way that we can embed these into our embryonic movements that are springing up across the country, the Black Lives Matters and those movements that are seeking fundamental response and change and power relationships, that are seeking human rights. And I have to say that it's fascinating and it's recognized in these presentations. Much of this was raised in the last years by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who dealt with the pillars that sustained social inequity of militarism, of discrimination and racism in its institutional form. So you have militarism, you have racism, and then you have economic deprivation. All of that is encompassed within the context of a reparatory justice movement. And the material, the presentations by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's the senior editor of The Atlantic, in his recent conversion, really, to reparations, whose brilliant and compelling essay, The Case for Reparations, I will make available as part of this package. He has introduced a new generation to the concept. just marvelous materials. And, of course, Sir Hilary Beckles, really the crown, the jewel in the crown, if you will, for this conceptual framework and an actual program that has now been introduced into the legislature in Great Britain, the demands for reparatory justice. 212-209-2950. There really has been, and they tell us about the tacit and direct admission of wrongdoing that they have managed to extract now by European nations in recent years. The British agreed to issue a statement of regret and award $21.5 million to surviving Kenyans detained and tortured during the Mau Mau rebellion decades ago. In 2007, to mark the 200th anniversary of the British prohibition of slavery, then British Prime Minister Tony Blair expressed regret, air quotes, for suffering caused the Britons by Britain's role in the slave trade. The Haitian Revolution of January 1, 1804 effectively ended slavery in that territory, but the equivalent of economic sanctions was used against Haiti as a penalty for her successful efforts of throwing off the chains of slavery and colonialism. All of that's discussed within this remarkable material. So following the January 2010 earthquake, then, right, French President Nicolas Sarkozy reportedly acknowledged the wounds of colonization and quickly approved a financial aid package to include millions of budgetary support for the Haitian government. There's so much to learn. This is not something nebulous. This is something that's clear, that's happening, that's delineated by these extraordinary scholars, and it goes from the contributions materially of Africans on this continent by John Henry Clark, the building of America uncompensated, the legacy of that for today. And what I mentioned earlier, you know, I go back and think of things like, right, Harvard Law School originally, which was endowed. What was it endowed from? It was endowed from the sale of slaves by its founder, Isaac Royall. Wow, that's kind of heavy. Labor has an economic value whose balance sheet measure does not disappear behind the shadows of time. The enslaved, still yet uncompensated labor has a fair market value that once measured should be paid to the descendants of those who built much of America. The depravities of theft and rape and torture and murder are anathema to all societies. American slavery embraced them all. We as a society must own this truth. The debt is real and outstanding, but this has never been acknowledged. Newly freed slaves had lost not only the compensation they would never receive, but virtually all memory of the essential social and cultural defenses they had once relied upon, original languages and mores and religions and stable family units upon which to build secure social futures in the years between then and now. The past isn't dead. It isn't even past today. Today, what does this all mean? Well, we're going to go back because you've been calling. You've been terrific. $125, five DVDs on reparatory justice. The horrific injustice of slavery must be repaired. 212-209-2950. You are stimulating. You are exciting me. And you are exciting me because I know what you are thinking about in terms of your concern for and your support of this radio station, which is an absolute must because there is no social movement, none, that has not been enhanced, that has not grown, that has not flowered by virtue of the information that has been delivered through this radio station and by the very voices who are the movers and shakers coming onto this airwaves, using it to build and to enhance the numbers and participants in any one of these social processes. And that makes BAI unique. It's a symbiosis, really, of information, theoretical information, towards the end of implementing practice for substantive change in power relationships in the society. And this morning, reparatory justice. Let's go back and listen in the brief time that we have to stimulate you to make sure that you commit your dollars this morning to WBAI by pledging $125 for this 5-DVD set, Reparatory Justice. Let's listen to some more of Say Hillary Beckles.
So you were out of food, you had no choice. Give us the documentation before we pay the claim. The case became controversial, and it went to the high courts. It went all the way to the high court. And thus, the famous ruling of Judge Mansfield in the Zao massacre. Judge Mansfield ruled, this is not a case of murder. This is a straightforward case of property insurance. And he added, it would have made no difference had there been so many cattle or horses on the ship. The result would have been the same, because on that ship was property and not human beings. Therein lies the British court. The British court, the judiciary of Great Britain, and its own legal structure, that black people are not human beings. Therein lies the charge of reparations, because to deny a people their human identity is a crime against humanity. And that is the case that the British judiciary, on behalf of the British state, established the principle once and for all that African peoples are not human. Well, we know how all of this impacted on St. Vincent. Keep going. We know all of this interesting image of the indigenous peoples who were fighting their resistance and their struggles. We know the story of Châtelet. We know all of this dispossession and the crimes committed against the people on this island. We know that history. But herein comes now the critical issue, emancipation. Emancipation. Who is going to get reparations at emancipation? The slave owners insisted, if you are going to free our property, you pay us reparations. And we want reparations at the full market value of the Africans. We want reparations at the full market value. Every black person in the Caribbean, put the market value on them, and we want compensation at the full market value. And here is an interesting cartoon in the British press at the time. The politicians, the merchants, the judges, the financiers, all the leaders of British society are lining up for their reparations. Because these are the people who own the slaves. The judges, the financiers, the business people, the politicians, these are the people who own the slaves. And they are lining up for their reparations. The Africans are jumping for joy because they are free. But they're not getting reparations. They're getting something called freedom, no reparations. And this cartoonist captured precisely the conversation in the 1820s. Who get reparations, who don't get? That was a brilliant cartoon from the 1820s that depicts the conversation. But now we now have these images to deal with, these legacies. What are we going to do about these images now? The black woman whose child is taken from her and sold? The separation of the black family, child sold down to one colony, mother sold somewhere else, the father sold somewhere else. That legacy, how do we deal with family now? And to say black people that our family values are weak, the fact of the matter is it has taken us from emancipation to rebuild family values, to rebuild the family system, because for 300 years, family was illegalized, family was destroyed. Continue. But this was the kind of family black people were asked to be a part of. Be the servant and the maid of the white family. That is your family. Keep going. This is the European conception of family. The beautiful white woman, her beautiful child, and the black servant. This is a wet nurse who will nurse that baby, who will raise it, take it for a walk in the morning, make sure it's healthy. That was how the Europeans imagined their family. That was the role assigned to her. This was how white men imagined themselves, to be carried around by black men in this way. Continue. Beautiful images. These are images from slavery. This is an image from Haiti. This is how a white Haitian saw himself, being carried around the plantation by black men. These are images that are embedded in the culture. Keep going. This is what you call a gibbet. For those of you who don't know what a gibbet is a cage. If an African was found to have resisted, to have run away, committed an offense against slavery, he was placed or she was placed in a gibbet. A gibbet is a cage where you are put in there and you are allowed to starve. The birds and the rats eventually eat you, but you are hung in this cage on the plantation. All plantations had them. These are standard images. Black people, to get their freedom, had to confront a white man with a gun. If you want freedom, confront with a gun, please. If you run away, of course, the dogs came after you. We know that all across the Caribbean, black people were chased by dogs in pursuit of their freedom. These are the images. And artists across the world captured this history. This is one of those beautiful images by a Dutch artist who came to the Caribbean and captured what he saw in the Caribbean. Black people trying to get their freedom, being chased by dogs. These were images captured by artists. The question now is, why are we focusing on the British government? Well, we are focusing on Britain because Britain was the largest owner of slaves in the Caribbean in the 1830s at emancipation. The British made the most money out of slavery and the slave trade. They got the lion's share. And importantly, they knew how to convert slave profits into industrial profits. You know, some of you, when you get a bonus, or a little lump sum of money, you might take home your money and put it in a shoebox and put it under the bed. Right? And you know, women can hide their money in places that nobody can find. And you can hide your lump sum of money. But if you hide your cash at home, what you are doing, you are depriving the banking system of that cash, which I can now go and borrow to start my business. So if you hide your money in the house, the bank is not going to have the money to allow me to borrow that money and pay the interest to start my business. The British knew how to convert the profits from the Caribbean, put the money through the banking system, and convert the Caribbean profits into capital for their industrial development. That was the success of the British. And thus, a proliferation of banks appeared all across Britain, taking the profits from the slave trade, taking the profits from slavery, and allowing other people to borrow that money for industrial development. That was the success of the British. The Spanish took the money from the Caribbean, put it under their bed. And the Spanish, who owned the whole of the New World for 200 years, the biggest colonizer, is now one of the poorest nations in Europe, because they did not understand the art of converting gold and silver and cash into capital. You convert it by putting it in the financial system, allowing other people to borrow it, convert it into commercial capital. The Spanish did not understand that. The British were the masters at it. That's why they became the first industrial nation.
Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Oh, wow. relating to this morning. Thank you, Common and John Legend. And thank you, calling from Monroe Township in New Jersey and as far away as Rhode Island and Far Rockaway and all over Brooklyn and Manhattan. Hey, Bronx, come on. Let's get with it here. 212-209-2950. Reparatory justice. That's our theme during our spring fundraising drive this morning. And you are doing spectacularly. And why shouldn't you? Because the material is outstanding. Five DVDs. You've been listening to Sir Hilary Beckles. You know, I was just thinking, in 1887, right, ex-slaves began petitioning the federal government for pensions, compensation for the years they had labored without wages before abolition. And when Congress ignored their thousands of petitions, they tried to sue for wage theft, but were told they could not. At the very least, the descendants of the tens of thousands of members of the ex-slave pension and bounty movement, those membership forms stated the number of years they had been working as slaves, along with the names of their slave owners and the plantations on which they lived. They should be eligible for reparations. And we now have Jersey City, New Jersey in the house, and Manhattan from 8th Avenue. We thank you and we are excited you're stimulating us. Well, there were individuals who can prove the identity of slave ancestors, whether they sought reparations in the 19th century or not, and they should also be eligible. Monies could come from corporations that profited from slave labor and from banks and insurance companies that practiced racial discrimination. Reparation for unpaid labor or restitution, payment for damage to make one whole for harm done. No restrictions should be made on how the money is spent. If their ancestors had received wages for the labors, they too would have brought what they wanted, invested in as they desired, or given it to churches or schools or charities or whatever. Beyond reparations to individuals, there should be a reparations super fund. There should be a reparations super fund. Monies could come from institutions and corporations that profited from the slave labor. Additional funds could come from banks and insurance companies that have been guilty of racially discriminatory practices such as redlining and predatory financial lending. The fund administered by a federal agency would ideally have an independent oversight board of African-American representatives whose responsibility would be it would look like the conceptual framework is real. It is there. The Caribbean nations have taken the lead on this. There has really already been, as mentioned by Sir Hilary Beckles, some tacit and direct admissions of wrongdoing. This is a global struggle for a global crime. They must be held accountable for it. The plan that Sir Hilary Beckles laid out is a call for that of justice. Slavery is over, but we are now in the jet stream of the consequences, says Professor Beckles. 212-209-2950. Five DVD set. This set and the discussion here helps us understand the Baltimore Uprising. The Baltimore Uprising for Freddie Gray, and indeed why Freddie Gray died. It has everything to do with the economic condition and oppression that is the legacy and continuation of people being used as chattel and stuff. And thanks, Baldwin, New Jersey. Baldwin, New York. Get it together there. Baldwin, New York, that's in the house. And again, Jersey City, that is in the house. 212-209-2950. This is a phenomenal time. I am totally excited by. I have listened and re-listened and will continue to do for a long period of time to this five DVDs. Ta-Nehisi Coates, who reveals the conversation that Americans need to start about our history of racial oppression, the case for reparations. The material is solid, and it's long past the time to make them real. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben Yohanan, Sir Hilary Beckles, outstanding scholarship materials, the way they communicate, five DVDs. Coates lays out, Ta-Nehisi Coates, in his argument. 250 years, he brings it into a context of slavery, and 90 years of Jim Crow, and 60 years of separate but equal, and 35 years of state-sanctioned redlining. He admits that his arguments aren't new, but he discusses a new approach by framing reparations not just as a financial debt to be paid, but as an emotional and psychological one necessary to begin the healing of the entire nation. And while Coates mentions the role of the government in reparations, focusing attention on the languishing legislation proposed by Michigan Democratic Rep. John Conyers, for example, he recognizes, as others who attempt to affect change throughout history of this country, that the moral will of all Americans must also be part of the solution. Oh, I'm telling you, I am so excited. I go back, and you know what's raised here? Going back really to 1963, the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. told the crowd of the bad check, right? The bad check marked insufficient funds that Americans had given black Americans, challenging the country to deliver on its promise of freedom and justice for all. Well, I'm Mimi Rosenberg. I love being with you, and I love having Sean Rose at the controls, who does such a splendid job. Love you all in the house. You have a couple of minutes left to take advantage. Five DVD set on reparatory justice. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Sir Hilary Beckles, John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben Yohanan, they are brilliant. This will enhance our movement building and become, indeed, the 21st century real motion for substantive change.
It's time for L.E.S., the Pulitzer Prize-winning theater for the new city that gave you the Village Halloween Parade, now presents the Lower East Side Festival of the Arts. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Theater for the New City is at 155 First Avenue at 10th Street. The kickoff is at 6 p.m. each evening. Plays, musicals, cabaret, film, over 100 artists and theater groups. And it's free, free to the public. The most multi-ethnic, multi-talented, multicultural, incredible array of creativity ever seen in New York City. And on Saturday afternoon, plays for kids by kids. And outside, a cultural fair with food, music, poets, celebrities. Come swing with us. Come dance to Afro-Cuban jazz and salsa. Hear the music of Bengal. See Chinese opera. The Lower East Side Festival of the Arts, May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Visit theaterforthenewcity.net. That's theaterforthenewcity.net. L-E-S. We've got it all.
You're listening to WBAI in New York as we engage in our spring membership drive. Please tune in. Hear your favorite shows on alternate weeks. During week three, we celebrate the arts morning through night and feature a special series celebrating the fun and creativity of the arts from 2 to 4 p.m. Also during week three, we dig deep into the affairs of the world locally and globally with a public affairs teach-in from 4 to 6 p.m. So stay tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Support your radio station and favorite shows by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give2wbai.org.
On Thursday, May 21st, starting at 6:30 p.m. until 9 p.m., join Bob Law, State Assemblyman Charles Barron, Damon Jones from Blacks in Law Enforcement of America, Pastor T.J. Williams from the Lisa B's Campaign, and Walter Edwards from the Harlem Business Alliance for a live audience participation of Night Talk, broadcast live on WBAI 99.5 FM from Mist Harlem, 46 West 116th Street in the Village of Harlem, in the borough of Manhattan, between Malcolm X and Fifth Avenues, for a discussion titled Black America in Crisis, Which Way Forward? Free Admission, Community Urge to Attend.
Hi, everyone. Juliana Forlano here from the Juliana Forlano Show on WBAI in New York City. Hey, what are you doing the weekend of May 29th, 2015? I know where I'll be, at the Left Forum. Have you been? If not, you're missing the most powerful, transformational conversations of the year.
You're here. I can see your eyes sparkling because you're on fire, not just for justice, but we're talking about revolution.
If you don't give us reform, you will get revolution.
Oh, yes. We embrace the reformers, those who want to tinker. Okay, if you want to be incremental, fine, but just don't stop there. We're calling for fundamental transformation of American capitalist society.
When was the last time you got to hear people talking like this?
Capitalism and democracy are not synonymous. They've been on opposite sides of each other since the advent of the Republic.
Come add your voice to these powerful discussions. Left Forum, May 29th through the 31st at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. For more information, go to leftforum.org.
On Saturday, May 30th, thousands of people will gather in New York City to march for the freedom of Oscar Lopez Rivera. Oscar Lopez Rivera is a Puerto Rican political prisoner who has served 34 years in prison for fighting for the independence of Puerto Rico, my country. 12 of those years were served in complete isolation. He's 72 years old. He is a Vietnam veteran. He has never been charged with any violent crime. This is a human rights issue. Join us on May 30th when we will tell President Obama that 34 years is enough. It is time to free Oscar Lopez Rivera.
Attention, WBAI listener sponsors. The WBAI Premium Hotline is now 347-529-6664. Again, the number is 347-529-6664. Leave a message on the hotline and a volunteer will address your concerns and get back to you as soon as possible. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Thank you once again for supporting WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
FM. Hank?
Good morning. Not good morning. This is good. I don't even know what time of day it is.
Well, let me just say it's the 20th.
I don't think I'm on the air.
Ah, I think you are on the air.
I can't hear myself.
I kind of hear you.
Okay. Well, you got to raise this then. This is Hank Key, and welcome to the Personal Computer Show, and I think I'm off mic.
That's number two. Or is it that they switch him again?
Okay. Hey, I'm back on.
Okay, he's on. All right.
Oh, boy. Hello, world, and welcome to the Personal Computer Show. I'm Hank Key, and boy, I'll tell you, this makeshift studio can really create a lot of challenges.
It's my first day here.
I know. And Stevie,
yes.
Welcome home, and I know that you were looking forward to coming back to the studio in Brooklyn because you always talk about the greatness of the Independent Republic of Brooklyn.
The Independent People's Republic of Brooklyn?
And now, I don't see you bragging about it. Now you're in the studio. Well, with me this evening is Joe King, and I believe he's on the air. Is he on the air?
Joe? You hear me?
Yeah, I hear him.
I am very puzzled by this whole setup. Am I on mic or off?
You are on mic.
Yeah.
In that case, hello, world.
Well,
is it true that the fire department came in and tried to shut you guys down?
Something like that.
Yep.
Too bad they didn't succeed.
They can't shut us down.
No. You know, we're on this evening from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and so we're on for 2 hours, and I thought I just...
You should be able to cover a lot of new things.
Well, let me give you a brief summary of what we're going to try to cover, okay? We have a lot of important news that happened the last 2 weeks, and we have a consumer alert that we want to, you know, apprise everyone of because of a battery problem. Verizon, of course, made an announcement.
Did you hear the news about the airbag?
Yes, 34.5 million cars are affected. And
it's not just that it's the biggest recall in the history of this country. What's even bigger important, I think, is that in the year 2006, the government, I don't remember what department is in charge of safety, did a thorough study of it and decided they didn't have enough evidence to do a recall. That's a more important story.
Well, I understand that one of the biggest problems is that when the airbag goes off, there's a lot of shrapnel pieces that are blown out with it, too.
It goes off with a blowout that's more like a cannon than a
fire. Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
And it's only 6 people who've been killed, and I love the way the politician said that.
Only
6 people who were killed.
Well,
only.
What else...
Like every politician who says that to be one of those people.
Well, what we also intend to cover in this two-hour period is we're going to have a section. We're going to talk about BitTorrent 101. What is a BitTorrent?
Wait a minute. What do you mean 101? It's been around forever.
Yeah, but you know what? I've been talking to a lot of people, and there's confusion. What is BitTorrent?
Yeah, we need to talk about BitTorrent. We need to talk about it.
Boy, Stevie, you sound like you're in the bathroom.
I'm back.
Stevie, could you do me a favor? Because I'm out here in Etherland, and I can't hear you.
How about now?
Oh, it's perfect.
Well, he was in the bathroom, okay?
Which is right here.
Yeah, I know. And what we also want to talk about is solid state drive, and there's a warning there, too. And as promised,
those are those new drives that are so much better than the old platters.
Well, they are, but you got to treat them a little differently. And one of the things, as promised from 2 weeks ago, I'm going to talk about Windows 10, the specifications, the flip-flops, the release date, and all my testing that I've done.
I know you know what I'm about to say, but I didn't even know about it until 2 days ago. Microsoft has finally decided not to let pirates have a free copy.
Well, we'll talk about that. It's like a yes and no, okay? And hopefully, in the last half of the second hour, we're going to cover a very important subject, which is a basic primer on backup, retention, and recovery. But in the meantime, I just want to say that from time to time during this special two-hour broadcast, we will interrupt to tell you how you can help us with the WBAI membership drive.
And not only help us, but help yourself, because there'll be some free gifts. Well, not free. Gifts to those who help us out. And
yay.
You're going to have a two-hour broadcast. We add a few commercials and mixed into it. So if I were you, I'd stay tuned.
Well, you know, this is my second time in this quote-unquote new quarters here at 388 Atlantic Avenue. And the studio, when I say it's bare bones, that is an understatement. I mean, like Stevie says, where's the studio? I says, you're in it. And he says, wait a minute. The walls are, well, first of all, we don't have a soundproof room anymore. Not that we had.
No, wait a minute. You have a room.
No, not really, because if the walls do not go up to the ceiling, I don't call that a room. I call that a cubicle.
Well, Gilbert lives in one of those.
Well, what happened was that the fire department came in and says, you know those boxes that you use to create a wall? Out. You can't use it. It's a fire hazard.
Well, you knew that, and I knew that.
Yeah, well, so I just want to say that we need to soundproof the studio, install telephone lines to support listener calls, because we only have one phone line. And
I'm on it. You can't have it.
And it's going to be some indefinite period of time. So, you know what, Joe? If the people can send us an email suggesting how we can, during this interim period, what they would like to hear from the personal computer show, because we can't take calls.
Where should they send an email? The PC Radio Show at...
PCRadioShow.org.
Well, that, okay.
Okay.
That's the website.
You go to the website, and then you can just send us email from there.
All right. Let me say something here, folks. Let me interrupt. There are a few systems out there that work on sending texts when you're not using a cell phone. And if anybody's had some really good experiences with some of the more common ones, write in and let me know, and we'll test them out, because it might be that we'll go over to a form of text. Stevie has a computer there. Oh, do you?
Well, the problem is that there's
no internet.
We have no connection to the console board with a computer.
No, no, but if Stevie has a computer, he can receive a text on the computer.
No, there's no internet.
Say again?
Well, tell you what. We really have a lot of work to do, you know, and
there's no internet.
I could have sworn. You know, sometimes you get so overtired that you start hearing.
Hey,
I could have sworn.
Joe, this is going to sound like a bad dream, but we have declining income, increasing expenses. We have to get new members. We have to generate increased support for donations, and we've got to get past this constant fundraising. I mean, this is really driving us crazy.
Well, what happens to the funds that we raise? There's no internet? I mean, that costs $1.50 to put in place.
Well, I just want to say to everyone that's hearing this that, you know, Stevie, Joe, myself, and others that we're trying to get on the air, which we can't, okay, we are all unpaid volunteers, okay, and we, the unpaid staff, receive no monetary compensation at all, no health benefits, no reimbursement for travel, related communication expenses, and we assume all, you know, all expenses to run a website.
That's
we don't...
I just paid a bill for our...
I know. I saw that bill. And we don't accept corporate sponsorship. So this enables us to tell it like it is. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's aware, but if you read all these so-called technical journals and magazines and so on, they have product reviews. But at the same time, they accept advertising from the same companies that they're reviewing. So is it a big surprise at all that almost everything they review is above average? Hey, here on WBAI, we tell it like it is. Now, what WBI needs today is a strong response from you, the listeners. Now, I'm a little confused, and hopefully I'll get it straightened out, but I got two phone numbers. To make a donation, I have 212-209-2950, but I also have 347-529-6664. And
I think that last one is specifically for the buddy system.
Gee, why can't they just do it all in one system?
Why can't they do anything right?
Okay, let me give out those two numbers again. 212-209-2950. And the other one is 347-529-6664. But, you know, we'll go back to that. Let's get back to what we are here for, the personal computer show, okay?
Yeah, let's stop complaining.
Oh, complaining? I'm not complaining.
I'm complaining.
Well, I do have a complaint, okay, is that I actually receive a piece of email, and I've find that a lot of people have received similar ones, all right? And most listeners know that I have a lot of Lenovo systems, both in terms of ThinkPads and desktop units, that are called ThinkCenter. But with the notebooks, all right, there is a... they sent out an email that goes back to the year 2010, and they have a whole bunch of models that... that are on the list there. There's a problem with the battery. Now they've only, like as you said, only a small number of incidents. But they will replace the battery if they have to. Go to the website Lenovo.com and look for, just key in batteries and you'll get to it. And you download this program. When you download the program, you run it. They run a test on the battery. And if you need the need a replacement, what they say is, run your notebook on AC, send the battery pack and back to them, and they'll give you a new battery.
And that is the way it should be handled if you have a problem.
Well, I have a notebook that goes back to 2010, and as you know, batteries don't, you know, normally the life on a lithium battery is maybe 3-4 years, and so it, you know, it doesn't hold the charge the way it used to hold the charge. You know what my reaction was? Gee, the battery's good. I was hoping to get a new one. Hey, Joe, you know, you called me up, I think about a week and a half ago or somewhere around then. Then you said to me, did you see that headline? This company buying out another company for $4.4 billion. What the heck is Verizon want AOL for?
And what did you say to me? Because I was totally amazed.
I think it's just they want to buy a content company, and you don't think so.
I think that it's something that's, and I've now read a lot more about it, and I think it's something that I'm not going to. Stevie has more knowledge of the inner workings of Verizon than I do, but I think that paying $4+ billion for a company, if you want to know what that company is really worth, go over and talk to Time Warner and see what they think about it.
The thing is, as a cable provider, a telephony provider, I think that the Verizon wants to go beyond that, and today, what everyone is saying is that the lines themselves is not going to be the most important. The most important is, if you look at Netflix and all that, it is content.
It is, and if I were Verizon, I would have perhaps bought Netflix, and certainly maybe a Hulu Plus or some of the other creative companies, because I think
AOL.